Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest, Riley Jensen, former BYU quarterback and Utah Aggie quarterback, the owner of Mountain West Elite. Riley, how you living?
Hey, what's going on? Utah State Aggie, not Utah Aggie.
Oh, no, I thought it was Utah.
You messed that up.
Oh, the Utah Aggies? I thought that was that's not what you call it.
No. Utah State Aggies. Come on now. And what's all this talk at BYU? Every time I turn on this radio show, all I hear is you talking about people's looks and about how good somebody looks and talking about great hair and all this stuff. I don't understand this. I don't understand this language.
Matter of fact, Ben did compliment me when I walked in.
Yes,
so.
I did. You know what? Because when I could tell.
He's talking about Luke Worthington's hair. I want to hear about how he plays basketball.
Riley, this is the thing. When someone's not that good at something, I typically will bring them up in some other way. Like, you know.
Gotcha.
Like, you're not, you know, all that good looking, but you are a tremendous athlete. You are an awesome quarterback, and I would pick you first any day of the week in my 7-on-7, what's that?
Listen, my wife told me I got way hotter with personality. So that's what happens.
Hey, and like, you got to be good at something.
I was an acquired taste.
Like fine wine and aged wine.
You got to be good at something. The classic line from Caddyshack is like, the judge just like, now says, you know, I'm no slouch at golf myself. And the guy says, you know what, judge, you're a tremendous slouch. Don't sell yourself short.
She said, you weren't that good looking when I walked in the room, but at the end of the party, for some reason, I was looking back at you. You know?
Riley Jensen, how the heck are you? How's Mountain West Elite treating you right now?
It's actually going really, really well. There's we've got all kinds of good football players playing in our camp right now. Just to give you a little feel, last year we had 225 players. We're already at 325 this year. We've got players like Sione Himule-Lund, who's got all kinds of offers. We got Simi Fehoko, who's a wide receiver, who's got all kinds of offers. We got the Patutau brothers from Cottonwood. I mean, Keaton Torrey, who obviously just decommitted from Louisville. That might be of some thought to BYU fans today. And, boy, it's just really fun to watch this thing grow, to watch all these great athletes out on the field in the middle of spring trying to get themselves better for the fall.
Talk to me about Keaton Torrey. He came onto our airways last time I think you hosted the show. Why did he decommit?
Well, you know, I talked to him a little bit. I think that as he got out here and as people started noticing him, I think he started feeling more and more pressure. And there was a lot of schools that were like, hey, we're not going to verbally offer you. We're not going to say anything out loud while you're committed to Louisville. But just know that if you decommit, we will be there for you. I know right now that ASU, Stanford, Oregon State, and University of Utah are all in the game. I know he's been down to BYU. You know that. He's been down there a couple of times. And it's just something that you gotta take into consideration when you're talking about great quarterbacks. They start getting a lot of attention. I just told him, I said, look, Keaton, you're going to get a lot of attention, both positive and negative, for this. So just make sure that you're ready for it when you decommit, you know. And I think he's ready for it. You listened to him when we interviewed him, Ben. He's a mature kid. He's got his head on his shoulders. His tweet that went out to everyone was really gracious to Louisville and just said, at this time, I feel like I need to reopen the doors and just make sure that Louisville is, you know, or just make sure that I'm making the right decision. And he thanked the fans and he thanked everyone for their support. He's a smart kid.
Riley, put yourself.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's very good. And I know you've been coaching him up. You said it's one of the most live arms that you have ever seen.
Yeah, in person, it's the biggest arm I've ever seen. And that hurts my feelings a little bit because I've been around myself a lot. And, you know, I don't have any delusions. I don't think I had the strongest arm in the world. I think I had an above average college arm. But as far as, like, I'm just talking about any person I've ever seen in the flesh. Now, I haven't seen John Elway play in the flesh. I haven't seen, you know, the old Jeff Georges and Matt Stafford and some of these guys play. But I've seen Philip Rivers play. And I'm telling you right now, his arm's stronger than anybody I've ever seen in the flesh. And it's pretty impressive. The one thing that he's got to work on is kind of the same thing that Taysom needs to work on, and that's that touch pass over the linebackers in between the safeties. his one ball or his fastball, as far as throwing a hitch or a slant, is unbelievable. His deep ball, I watched him throw the ball from the goal line to the 25-yard line on the other side, 75 yards in the air, to Simi Fehoko just the other day. I mean, it's a live arm. And those two throws, I mean, I think he can stand toe-to-toe with anyone. It's those touch passes that Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady can make over those linebackers in between those safeties that he's going to have to rep over and over and over again so that he can succeed on the next level. He'll be phenomenal this fall. And if anyone is listening to this radio show, which I think there is, you always tell me about all the people that are listening, Ben. If you get a chance to watch Bingham, you want to go watch him play this year.
You won't be disappointed?
Arm. No. You will not be disappointed.
Riley, put yourself in the young man's shoes, the decommitment. I mean, what's your advice to a young man that has verbally committed, is wavering somewhat? I mean, do you fault him for doing what he's doing right now?
No, I don't. In fact, I admire him for doing it this early rather than wait until the last second on these guys. Sometimes guys do that to them, and the last second they bail out. This at least gives Louisville some time to get back in the game with some other guys if they want to, or to re-recruit him and to really come after him again. My advice is simple. Number one, you need to like the coach, but you can't put too much stock on that as much as coaches move around now. I mean, there's like three schools in the country that are, you know, kind of untouchable, and those are really the only schools that aren't going to have movement as far as their head coach goes. So, to me, I think it has to be a good fit personally. I think it has to be a good fit style-wise. So when I look at him, I think he's more, to me, he fits more into the Stanford program where he can be a big arm, he can run some play action, he can run too. I think he fits into that system a little bit better than like ASU or
even BYU for that matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I'm looking at BYU, I'm not sure that the style that he plays, I'm not sure that's what they want. If they get him, I think they should go after him, they're going to have to change some things. Just like they'll have to change if they get Tanner Mangum, if that makes any sense.
Right, yeah, I mean, Coach and I is really high on Tanner Mangum, and then also I wanted to get your thoughts on Cody Wilstead. I mean, he's not a burner, but I mean, 6'6". You know, 200 pounds, he doesn't run that fast, but they get this live arm. They get Tanner Mangum live arm that's fast enough. It sounds like Keaton Torrey is also fast enough.
Well, I think Keaton Torrey is a better athlete than both of those guys, to be honest with you. I think he's probably more in the range of like Christian Stewart, where he can make some runs for you, and I think he's got a bigger arm than Christian, and Christian doesn't have a bad arm by anybody's standards. It's one of those things where he's not Taysom Hill. I don't know who is, and I think that whoever replaces Taysom Hill is going to have a little bit of a hard time because BYU fans are going to be used to watching him run that read option and get downfield and do some great things. But this kid is way talented. He's a great person, and I just told him, I'm like, look, there's no way to have a crystal ball on what's going on. You want to pick stability if you can. BYU will have stability for him. Stanford seems to have a little bit of stability there right now. I don't know about Arizona State, you know. University of Utah has some stability, obviously, with Kyle there. But even in the last couple of years, that's been a little bit sketchy. So I just told him, look, you're going to be fine wherever you go. You're going to have a chance to compete to be the starter wherever you go. It's not always going to be roses. I mean, you guys know that. And you know that from playing college football. Everything doesn't work out exactly the way you planned when you go to college to play college now. So you just do what you can to control what you can control, and if coaches leave or if quarterback coaches leave, can't worry about that. So you need to pick a place where if all the coaches left and football was absolutely miserable, could you be happy at the school? You know, could you be happy with what was going on otherwise? So
I think that's a
good
piece
of my advice.
I think that's a good piece of advice because initially you said, hey, don't look necessarily at the coaching staff there, but then you also said, well, you still have to look at the system in which you play, but when it comes down to it, if those coaches aren't there, you don't have the system that you like, and are you going to be happy? Is that pretty much, does that sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, because the truth is, man, if I was playing at Utah State and all of a sudden they switched to triple option, I'm a dead man walking.
No, that's not true.
No, it's true. But I was pretty happy up at Utah State when I was playing up there. So I think I probably just would have finished out and just said, hey, man, that's just the way the chips fell. You know, they brought in Fisher DeBerry to be the coach at the end of my career. You know, it's just one of those things where you can't control that. So you might as well go somewhere where you'd like your degree, where you'd be proud to say that you got your degree from, and enjoy the ride. And I told him, he was so stressed out this morning about decommitting. And I just told him, hey, man, the definition of freedom is options. There's a lot of kids out there who don't have the options that you have, nor the ability that you have. You've earned that, and you've got some freedom, and you've got some options. Enjoy the process. I go, these are good problems to have, you know? They're great problems to have.
Yeah, I would love that problem. I know you would like that problem. I think you had some of those same problems, I guess, coming out of your junior college. Well, I didn't have the same problems.
Yeah, out of junior college, I had some options. But, you know, I don't think I'm on the same stratosphere as he's at. And the reason why it's pulling on him is because he's a good kid and because he's a loyal person and those sorts of things. So I think that gets tricky for him. I think that gets hard for him. He felt like he committed. He feels like when you give your word that you should stay with it. But some of the landscape changes and different things happen, and at least he did it in a timely manner so those guys can do something.
Riley, the class of 2015 was pretty exceptional from the state of Utah and got cherry-picked a little bit from some of the Power 5 conferences. It looks like 2016 is shaping up to be a pretty good year, too, with the Brighton kids and some of the other kids you've talked about. What does BYU and Utah State, what do they have to do to try to keep some of these kids in state? Do they have a shot at some of these guys?
Well, I think they have a shot. I think they have to keep selling it the way that they're selling it. It gets crazy with Oregon State coming in. And truthfully, as good as the All-Poly camps have been to the University of Utah and BYU and Utah State over the years, it's part of their problem now, too, if that makes sense. That All-Poly camp brings all these coaches in from the Western United States, and now I'm hearing Michigan State's coming in. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma joined the ranks last year. You've got University of Texas is going to be there this year. I mean, you got big-time schools that come in, and those become tough offers for kids to turn down. I mean, those are the teams that they're watching every Saturday on national TV. So if I were a coach at the University of Utah, BYU, Utah State, I'm selling the fact that your parents can come and see you play. Now, some kids, maybe they have enough money and their parents can fly around and they can go around to different games. But part of the fun for the parents is being part of it. I mean, part of the fun for you, Ben, I'm sure, was when you got done with a BYU game, your parents are there, you got family, you got friends around, all that kind of stuff. It's a lot harder to play football when you have a big win and you look around after the game and nobody's there. And I think they got to draw a picture. I think coaches need to draw a picture of what it's like, because as great as the hoopla is and as fun as it is to play for Michigan State, you know, what happens when you're sitting on the bench and there's a big win, but you didn't have much to do with it? There's no family around. You're sitting there alone. To me, it's not that much happiness. And so, although you're playing for a big time school, I don't know. That's what I would sell. And then I would also sell the fact, if I was the University of Utah, I'd sell Pac-12, sell the fact that you're in stadiums that you see every Saturday. If I was BYU, I'd sell their schedule. I'd sell the BYU experience. And if I was Utah State, I'd sell the fact that they're going to win 10 games every year because they're in the Mountain West Conference. And that college football is a lot more fun when you're winning, which is a true statement. And I don't care what level you're on. If you win 10 games compared to 9, compared to 5, compared to 4, it's a lot more fun when your team's winning. And so I would play that up as much as I could.
I'll add to that. It's a lot more fun when you're actually playing and then winning, because if you ain't playing,
right. No,
and you're winning.
I totally agree. But that's, yeah. I mean, that's my point. That's my point to you, Ben, is you sell that picture of you go and sign with Michigan and you spend 3 years on the bench. Mm-hmm. Your parents can't afford to fly out every game because maybe you're not playing, and so they want to save up money for when you're actually playing. And then your team has a huge win. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's got parents around and friends around and everything else, and you're sitting there alone. To me, that's not happiness.
Yeah, Riley, you mentioned the All-Poly Camp. I just remembered The first time I saw Manti Te'o in person was at the All-Poly camp, and the guest speaker on the day that I went was Jim Harbaugh, who had just started at Stanford.
Right.
Big time people coming in and seeing these guys and realizing that there's some guys to mine out of that.
I'll tell you the coolest thing about the All-Poly camp is I've coached quarterbacks there for 15 years, 16 years, however long the camp's been going. I think this is the 17th year. And I, at that camp, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, we're running quarterback drills and we're kind of planning what we're going to do that day. And we're like, hey, Jim, if you want, like, you can just kind of stand around and coach where you want, or you can kind of interject when you want with these kids, whatever you want. He goes, no, I want to coach them. Tell me what you want me to coach. You know what I mean? And he jumps in. Same thing with Chris Peterson and Steve Sarkisian last year. They're listening to us as far as like the way we have the camp planned. They're like, hey, just plug and play me. I'll go in. I'll coach quarterbacks. I'll coach whatever group you want. And so you're talking about big time names that are there, you know, and they're not just there to recruit. They're there to help kids. And that was really impressive to me about Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he was one of running a circle throwing drill and doing a lot of cool things that were just, it was really fun. And I think he set the precedence for other coaches to go there and to coach and to have a good time. And all these other coaches have kind of fallen in line and done the same thing. It's been pretty cool. It's a really cool experience for the kids. I mean, where you can't go anywhere else in the country for the All-Poly camp where you get over 100 Division I football coaches in one camp. They just don't allow it anymore. All-Poly Sports was grandfathered in because of their mission and because of some of the things that they're doing for the community and outside the camp. So, and they have to follow all the NCAA rules. So you can't say enough about that All-Poly camp, what it's done, not only for the Polynesian athlete, but there's been lots of other athletes that come through there. I mean, and I'm forgetting his name right now, but the running back, his last name is Williams. He came up from Las Vegas. He got a scholarship to Utah State because of it, and he was the starting running back last year for the Cardinals.
Kerwin.
For like six games.
Kerwin Williams.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, and so, I mean, it's not just Polynesian kids. There's all kinds of kids that are getting scholarships out of that thing, and it's a really cool thing that goes on every year there.
Riley Jensen from Mountain West Elite, former Utah State Aggie and BYU quarterback for a semester, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Riley, you're doing a tremendous job there at All Poly Camp as well as Mountain West Elite, and I think it's important to take note of that, just how well the coaching staffs are coming together around the state. There's tremendous talent. I was just at the coaches clinic at Brigham Young University this past week, and I saw so much talent in that room from the state of Utah.
Unbelievable coaches in the state of Utah. There's been articles kind of ad nauseum in the USA Today that talks about how fundamentally sound the coaches are in the state of Utah. And really, when you're talking about milk and potatoes of football, to me, when you're talking about just the good old defensive line, offensive line, linebackers, and running backs, you can come to the state of Utah and get just about anything you want. The only thing that maybe struggles every once in a while in the state of Utah is corners, but they turn into great safeties on the next level. And, you know, not everybody's as quick and as mentally tough as Ben Criddle in the state of Utah. So,
hey, I'm an Arizona product. Don't throw me into that Utah product.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In Utah, they just don't grow them like the Mongoose. You know, there's not a lot of corners. Not a lot of corners in the state of Utah giving themselves nicknames.
Yeah, well, I should have been playing safety. There's no reason I should have been playing corner. I was a free safety through and through. But we were a little the honor code kind of thinned us out a little bit that 2005-2006
yeah,
year.
I mean, they hide you. They made you the boundary corner, you know. They brought you on a short porch on a blitz, you know, mm-hmm. and the quarterback wasn't looking, so you could tackle, you know.
Hey, exactly.
That's what we liked about you.
Hey, you have strengths and weaknesses. I'm just glad that Bronco was able to really accentuate my strengths. Riley.
Well, it's amazing how many corners in his career he's hidden on that boundary corner. It's been amazing. I've really enjoyed watching that.
And he hid me the best. He hid me best, man.
You were probably the best athlete of all of them, but he's hidden a lot. Don't act like I'm wrong. There's been a lot of corners that have been hidden in that in that boundary corner position.
I'm going to ask him that question next time I'm in front of him for a media. How many boundary corners have you hit, and how many safeties have you hidden at that boundary corner spot during your career? I think he'll name all of them.
I mean, you have to admit that's some great coaching right there.
Amen, dude. I can't tell you just how the weak link that I was out there in space. It was rough.
The problem with my position is they couldn't hide me. They couldn't do anything. They were like, "Oh man, I guess he's the best we got. Let's throw him out there."
I'm pretty sure the offensive line. The offensive line really didn't help you out all that much, but that's neither here nor there. Riley, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Come on, I can't do that. I have to buy those guys gloves and stuff. I have to buy them dinner. I can't be mean to offensive linemen. I won't give you that one.
Riley, we got to let you go, brother. Thanks for coming on with us.
Take care, brother. Thank you.